Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Thomas Ferguson, who is a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts Boston and a senior fellow at the Roosevelt Institute. He is a member of the advisory board of George Soros' Institute for New Economic Thinking and a contributing editor to The Nation. He's the author of Golden Rule, The Investment Theory of Part Competition and the Logic of Money-Driven Political Systems, and has an article at Altnet, The Devil and Rick Santorum, Dilemmas of a Wholly Owned Subsidiary, wholly spelt H-O-L-Y. Welcome to Background Briefing, Thomas Ferguson.
Hi there.
And I guess at this point, the wholly owned subsidiary of the Republican Party are casting about in frustration. They're unhappy with Mitt Romney and his ascendancy and the avalanche of money that is pushing him to the top of the heap. And apparently a group of Texas conservatives are meeting down at a Texas ranch, casting about for somebody else. That's Don Wildman and the Dobson and Gary Bauer, et cetera. Are they going to stick with what they have? They've basically got two Catholic fundamentalists, haven't they?
Look, the irony here is overwhelming. It's been written by a variety of folks that if you polled the average evangelical Protestant in the 19th century, they would sort of rank Catholics and Mormons as the lowest of the low. I mean, Mormonism they considered a cult, and they didn't like Catholicism. Now, by a sort of wonderful inversion, you're exactly right. They've got two Catholics, though. To be fair, Newt Gingrich has been just about everything. Sort of like his work with Freddie Mac and so forth. You know, he's been on every side of everything, including religion. That's correct. I mean, my take is that there's likely to be a lot of discord in the evangelical movement because, you know, I'm sorry to sort of say it so baldly. I hope I won't offend anyone, but a lot of these folks actually are for sale. Wonderful Ralph Reed email, he used to be the leader of the so-called Christian Coalition that came out in the Abramoff investigation when he talked about how his real desire was to get to, I'm actually quoting now from memory, but humping that corporate dough. That's a pretty pervasive. It doesn't affect everybody in that group, but it affects a lot of them. And Newt Gingrich in particular has made a point of funneling cash into various evangelical leaders. He put a fair amount of money just a couple of years ago into some campaign that was going on in Iowa. And I think there'll be considerable pressure to endorse Newt. Even though, you know, by any standard, Newt hardly qualifies by comparison with, say, Santorum for that stuff. But, you know, that's basically their business. The other thing that I noticed that I think is becoming quite extraordinary is now that the race has really heated up, since Sheldon Adelson gave $5 million to Gingrich, they're apparently going to do a all-out promotion of a trash on Romney's Bain Capital in South Carolina. Who'd have thought that a Republican primary would feature a major documentary dumping on private equity firms? That's where you're headed here, though. I don't think I've ever seen quite anything like this. And I think before they're finished, both God and Mammon are going to be looking at each other pretty weirdly.
Well, Tom Ferguson, in your alternate article, The Devil and Rick Santorum, Dilemmas of a Wholly Owned Subsidiary, H-O-L-Y, you make the case that while Republican policies are stunningly oriented towards making the richest Americans richer, the Republicans have spent decades cultivating ordinary voters to focus on social wedge issues rather than economic policies and are thus missing an opportunity in 2012 since the Democrats are vulnerable on the economy.
Yeah, look, I mean, this too is so wonderful. One hardly knows what to say. I mean, the basic problem is the Republican Party is effectively unpresentable to ordinary people on economic grounds. I mean, they're so lopsidedly weighted toward helping the super rich. And, I mean, we're not talking here even half the population. You look at the numbers in Larry Berman's book, and you find that the tax advantages and other just go so overwhelmingly to the rich that you can't really make any campaign pledges on it for very long. And Republicans, in fact, when you get them past 3 minutes of bromides on growth, they've got to change the subject. This story is quite graphically. I happened to be reading Kim Phillips Fine's book, Invisible Hands, which is an excellent discussion of how in the Goldwater campaign they had some trouble getting any traction with the sort of free market economic stuff. And then they sort of switched to morals and race, and they did much better. Moral decay. Or so they thought, and you know that lesson has taken wide hold. Yeah, I mean, basically, if you're a Republican candidate, most of the time in the last 30 years, you spend an enormous amount of time changing the subject from economics to foreign policy, towards some foreign threat, occasionally toward immigration, many times toward abortion, guns, racism of one form or another. I mean, the list is sort of endless. I would add that this, in a somewhat less stark form, this often characterizes conservative parties around the world. They've got a funny tendency to be identified with an established church or run generals, anything to switch the subject. And so you come into the 2012 race with that sort of an electorate that you've built over 30 years. And you really have to insist here that electorates are like Japanese gardens. You have to spend considerable time tending them. I mean, American voter turnout is highly variable. You can do American politicians are really good at writing rules to make it harder to vote, hard to register. Repelling people, letting them know they're not welcome, especially by doing, if you control the whichever office in the state government, it's usually the Secretary of State's office that decides, for instance, voting machines. You can either put more or fewer voting machines in to a place. But, you know, the big dodges have been, in recent years, they've been things like adding photo ID laws, which, frankly, are ridiculous, as a requirement to vote. You could just use your town census. Most towns in many states take census if you were really just trying to get a registration. And then also to sort of cut back on early voting. So you push down voter turnout and you try to change the subject. Then you come into 2012 with an enormous disaffected population on both the left and the right, as the Obama administration's economic policies have been such conspicuous failures. You know, they did a half-size economic stimulus. They've done nothing on mortgages. They've concentrated most of their time and effort on trying to just help banks. It's left a bitter taste in a lot of people's mouths across the political spectrum. So by all rights, the Obama folks should be very vulnerable, particularly with the persistently high unemployment still. Even that little slight downtick last month is it's basically nothing in a span of 3 years. Anyway, so the Republicans come into this race, and you can see that most of the political establishment in the Republican Party just wants to run Romney, thinks the contrast on the economy is their ticket to heaven. And then they're sitting there with an electorate that they have coached for 30 years, and that electorate cares about economics too, but they've got a lot of other things on their mind also, and they're not inclined now to suddenly forget them. I mean, this is a bed that Republican elites made, and their problem is they've now got to lie in it.
So What about the Tom Ferguson, again, professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts Boston and a senior fellow at the Roosevelt Institute, and he has an article, At Alternate, the Devil and Rick Santorum, Dilemmas of a Wholly Owned Subsidiary, H-O-L-Y, owned subsidiary. The economy, stupid, the mantra from the Clinton days has been pretty much the way elections have gone, at least that's the assumption. And we've spoken before about the vulnerability of Clinton to the Eurozone, and it's worth noting that that situation hasn't been solved. Sarkozy just referred to the situation in the Eurozone as very tense. So is there still a chance that they won't get their act together? They're already saying that Europe will be in recession this year, but if they really drop the ball in Europe, surely that's going to turn our economy and
A single bank failure in Europe, a big one, a really big one, is likely to immediately ricochet across the Atlantic in the form of a kind of Lehman in reverse. Yeah, this, I don't think there's any doubt as to why Tim Geithner keeps going to Europe and pressing them to move as fast as they can, nor why the Federal Reserve is doing those large-scale swap agreements with the European Central Bank. I mean, that's a form of, frankly, it's a form of bank bailout. We're in another one. And again, you know, breaking the old Badgett rule, which was, okay, in a crisis, lend freely, but at a penalty rate. We're giving the money away, just like we did to our own banks. And now, we're not doing this out of the goodness of our heart. This is about trying to prevent the American banks from being hit in a European bank failure. There, I don't think there's much. Yeah, if that happens, they're cooked. I probably any Republican could get elected if they have that. I mean, I'm. It's not at all clear to me that they will not, in fact, have a serious problem. And you know, I don't myself think that the unemployment rate is going to trend straight down. I suspect it's likely to bounce back up at least once more before it does anything. Anything even better. I think Obama's going to take a very mixed record into the electorate. I think he's going to have a huge turnout problem, even under the best of circumstances. I mean, if you look at, depending on, you know, what kind of numbers you're looking at, in other words, there's some various tabulations around. I'm inclined to think that the one I sort of think is about right is probably the net nationwide trend and registrations probably running 6 or 7 points against the Democrats compared to where they were in 2008. That's counting moves toward independence as a move away from the Democrats, not necessarily to the Republicans. And I suspect you're going to see a third party, too. I mean, I have said this, I think, pretty consistently for 6 months, but if you look around the country, you can see this Americans Elect group, which, as far as I can tell, is funded by folks, while they claim to be centrists, are in fact from fairly far to the right, I mean, including led by folks who have a long record of hostility, for instance, to Social Security. I think you're going to see those folks materialize in the spring.
But Tom, will they run a candidate that's going to take votes from Romney, or a candidate that's going to take votes from Obama?
I think they could run, depending on how the world develops and who they nominate. I could imagine the vote. You know, Michael Bloomberg would pull a lot from Obama, too, I think, if he finally decides to take the plunge. I mean, the nice thing about the American Elect scheme that has been going on around the country is none of the proposed candidates have to make any exploratory committee declarations. They can just wait and see. And in the end, you know, maybe nobody will take the plunge, or only some minor figure. There's an awful lot of stuff up in the air. I've never seen a situation, I think, in my lifetime where the population as a whole so detests the leadership of both parties. I mean, these folks are not loved by hardly anybody, not the Democrats and not the Republicans. And, You know, in that type of an environment, it's a little scary. I mean, the this is, I'm not, you know, if you want, I usually, if people ask me, I just tell them, if you want to really guarantee a happy ending, see a Disney movie. We're not living in the Disney world.
So just in closing then, do you think then that this unpopular Republican, that there's any chance of the real ironic backlash that you talk about? How the
look, if you this is sort of this is really in short, to make a brief statement on a somewhat complicated situation. If you run most of the normal economic models of voting, which, you know, I think is to some extent a mistake. That's why, I mean, I don't think most people vote just on economics, but they include economics in the range of things they're thinking about. And so if you get a bad movement on one, in one direction, you can change a lot of votes. But if you, you know, look at the normal models, everybody's got this thing being very, very close. You know, I doubt that that's going to change much. You know, even if you don't go into even if you don't have a recession in Europe, there. Mm-hmm. And so this is, you know, we are reversing the, you know, we're having the Democrats run so poorly on an economic run on such a poor economic record is something we haven't seen really since what, 1979, 1980. But you know, the
Republicans, we know what happened there.
Yeah,
but then they had, I mean, they had Ronald, yeah, Reagan, not Mitt Romney. I thank you for joining us, Tom Ferguson.
Okay, thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Tom Ferguson, who's a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, and a senior fellow at the Roosevelt Institute. He's a member of the advisory board for George Soros' Institute for New Economic Thinking and a contributing editor to The Nation. He's the author of The Golden Rule, The Investment Theory of Part Competition and the Logic of Money-Driven Political Systems. And he has an article at Alternet, The Devil and Rick Santorum, Dilemmas of a Wholly, H-O-L-Y, Owned Subsidiary. So what did we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we started out talking with Michael Lind, who has an article at Salon, Race, Liberty, and Ron Paul, to talk about how Ron Paul was doing on the day before the New Hampshire primaries, where he's gaining on Mitt Romney, who seems to dominate the race and seems to be all but certain to get the nomination. Michael Lind, who's come from the South, believes that you can't discount the real kind of Dixiecrat resurgence that's down there in the South, the people that, you know, went to war, created the Civil War in this country, that they are pretty stubborn and they're going to take this race to the mat, and they just under no circumstances do they want a Mormon. And he seemed to think that even though at the end of the day he thought that Romney would probably get the nomination, because of the distribution of delegates, this would be a much longer fight than certainly that I thought it would be. I challenged him a little over his article in Salon.com, Race, Liberty, and Ron Paul, in as much as he said that Ron Paul exhibits racial idiocy in the article, which he certainly does, where he blames the Civil Rights Acts for America turning into a police state and makes a direct connection from the Civil Rights Act to the Patriot Act, which makes no sense. But I sort of pointed out that in the debate in New Hampshire, Ron Paul actually, I thought, brought up a very good point. When asked about his racism in his newsletter, he said, well, I'm the only person that condemning the war on drugs, where in America, a majority of whites take drugs, but a majority of blacks go to jail for drugs, and that's racism. And I thought that was a very welcome point that you rarely hear in the political debate or the mainstream media. But Michael suggested, I like that because I'm a progressive, so I got kind of dismissed there. We did then talk with Anita Akuru of the Africa Faith and Justice Network about what's happening in Nigeria, where the whole country's on a general strike because they took away gasoline subsidies, doubling the price of gas in a country that's a huge oil producer but yet doesn't refine any of its own gasoline. That in itself is bizarre. And I tried to find out whether, you know, Shell Oil or IMF or who's to blame. He largely fingered the problem on the incredible corruption there, how the political class just make tons of money, more than, you know, everybody makes more than the President of the United States gets in a legitimate salary. And the meanwhile, the people are living on about $2 a month. So obviously they can't afford a raise in gas. And we'd also talked about the Islamist party that's, or the group of hardline Islamists, Boko Haram. And he seemed to think that they may have some political connections, sort of murky political connections with parts of the Nigerian elite, even though he also said they belong to Al-Qaeda. And then finally, Tom Ferguson joined us to talk about his article in Altnet, The Devil and Rick Santorum, The Dilemmas of a Wholly Owned Subsidiary. And he makes the point that Republican policies, while they've been stunningly oriented towards making the richest Americans richer, they've spent decades cultivating, you know, Republican voters to focus on social and wedge issues. And now that they've got a business candidate in Romney, nobody's interested in what he has to offer. And he argues that this would be the best year for a Republican business candidate to run against the Democrats because they are so vulnerable on the economy. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.